You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, this is the Tripe Supper, and I feel like we might need to introduce ourselves again because we haven't done one in that long. I'm Dom, the Shaw, the host, Anthony Vickers to my left, Chris Garber to my right, Phil Talentire is away, gallivanting on his holly bobs. Do we know where he's gone? Has he gone anywhere?
He was tweeting the other day from, I think it was from Tynemouth.
I was going to say Thailand.
I think he was planning to get out and about and do little city breaks, wasn't he? Days out in various places.
I think the host introduced himself there as Dom Shaw, but I think a congratulations is an honour, actually. He should be Dom Shaw 10K Middlesbrough Pride winner.
Oh, well,
congratulations.
Cheers, fellas. There was a reason why I thought we'll do it after that. I might be able to slip it in Manchester.
What was it, 31 minutes?
Yeah, 31:10 or something like that it was.
Takes me an hour to drive up Martin Road.
It does for anyone, mate. It's the worst road in Teesside, that. No, I was. I've always like wanted to win that when it's a local race, isn't it?
It's good to get
that one boxed off.
Completes the set now, doesn't it?
It's something like that, mate, yeah.
All you need to do now is beat Mo next week in the Great North Road. Yeah,
that one might not be as...
Are you doing it? Routine.
Yeah, I am. Well, I'm doing it. I'm not beating Mo. Yeah, I'm doing it. Talking of winning anyway, the Borough are ticking along absolutely lovely, yeah. Jubbly. It has been that long since we've last done a Tripe Supper, apologies for that it might well have been, you know, a month or so after the end of last season, so the landscape's changed an awful lot. But Borough are joint top, they're unbeaten in all competitions, we've seen kids get a chance, we've seen a change of system, we've seen a hard fought point at Leeds. We'll start with that, Garbs, you were there. What did you make of it?
I thought Borough were very efficient, well drilled, professional, good in every single department. You know, I would even put Britt in that, even though he didn't really get a clear chance at goal, that he worked his socks off. And you can just tell that they're working hard for each other. They're fit. They look extremely fit, and that is complementing the high intensity game that they're playing. They all know the jobs, they're working for each other, and they're playing with a smile on their face as well. I think, you know, to go there and limit the, you know, in brackets, best attack in the league to not a clear shot on goal at all, never really looked under pressure, did we? I think, you know, all it took was just maybe a little bit of luck for that Ayala header, and I think we could have come away with 3 points, which, you know, I said before the game, another clean sheet and a point would be more than satisfactory for me, and I think coming away from there with that was job done, and just, you know, just what we needed going into the international break, I think.
Well, I mean, if you look at the back, if we start at the back, West Brom and Leeds have scored 29 goals between them, and I think I wrote at the weekend that between them, Borough limited them to 5 shots on target over 2 games, and these are teams who have been sticking. I know it's no gauge, or it wasn't at the time, but West Brom stuck 7 past QPR, as we know. The change in the system, Borough look absolutely rock solid defensively. Yeah. It's given the chance to get 3 excellent defenders, or certainly they're playing that way at the minute, and Fry, Flint and Ayala are all in the team together. What are the other contributing reasons, Vic, behind this impressive start?
Well, I think the shape is the be all and end all. I mean, I like wing backs. I'll put my hand up and say that that's a system that I would choose to play. 3 centre backs gives you solidity, and the wing backs block off the attacks down the opposition flanks, which is where Borough got done time and time again under Gary Monk, and also later in the season sometimes as well under Tony Pulis. If you're cutting out that area as an attacking option for the opposition, it means you're not dealing with so many crosses. It means that the crosses that tend to come in tend to be quite high, and three central defenders could nod them away all day. And I think if you're playing with solid wing backs, which we are, because Shotton and George are both defenders by instinct, and so are very solid, they can block up that space, and it forces the opposition to go infield, into midfield, where the three lads that have been in there are playing with incredible intensity. They're operating very shrewdly in little groups, and they're mugging any attempted breakaways by the opposition. They're, you know, absolutely stifling the opposition, and then that forces them to go long as the only option. Britt, you mentioned there, has been working really, really hard, chasing down and closing down the opposition defenders, stopping them from building up from the back, stopping them setting the tempo, and it ends up with the other teams getting increasingly flustered and frustrated and going long. Mm. And if you've got three at the back, you know, you can gobble that up all day. Mm. I like that. I mean, I like that sort of football, I think, very much, you know, blood and thunder, but that's a key element in getting out of this division. And in the Championship, sometimes you don't get the option to play nice football. If one of your strengths is nullifying the opposition and working and grinding and labouring and imposing yourself on games, then I think that gives you an edge before the kickoff.
Yeah, like you said there, it's the style of play that we're implementing at the moment, it doesn't work unless you implement it in the way that Borough are doing. You know, you see that the hunting packs, they work together. You can see that it's clearly laid out and planned out during the week in training. But like I said, you know, you get to game day and that all goes out the window, and you lose games if you don't apply yourselves properly. And you can tell that the players have really bought into the new system.
I think you can tell that they've bought into what Pulis wants from them in general. They're very fit.
Yeah, I know.
And I think, you know, that goes back to when probably didn't make all that much of it at the time because it was the first game and you don't know. But when you look at Millwall, Millwall really tired and petered out in that opening game, mm-hmm. when Borough came strong from nowhere to somehow snatch that point. Mm. But that was really a bit of a precursor as to what was to come in there. Borough have never, they've never looked like being out, and that Leeds team, as we know, or as we've read about and heard non-stop since the start of the season, plays with such intensity. Mm. But I thought Borough matched them completely for that. And the other thing that struck me was it was the direct opposite of last season when Borough looked frightened at Elland Road that day when Monk went back and there was the inflatable snakes. Mm. And this season, I think there's a maturity and Pulis often talks, doesn't he, about, and he did it recently with George Savile on Friday night, where he talked about, oh, he's a man now, and he talks about that a lot, doesn't he, players becoming men. Mm-hmm. I think Borough look like a team of men.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look back over last season's match reports, you know, how often did we say that Borough were swamped in midfield or outworked in midfield, and we'd refer to more limited sides who just laboured and hustled Borough out of their shape. Well, that's not happening this year. And when you talk to the players after the game, the two things that come up constantly are Austria. You know, anything that you throw at them now is nothing compared to running up a mountain at 5 o'clock in the morning. And also shape, the work that they do endlessly on shape. And you can see that. There's an instinct now, you know, when they lose the ball, two people will immediately hair onto the guy who's got it, and they're snapping at their heels and they're chasing and not letting that person play the ball, and everyone else immediately drops into shape. So when they get the ball, when there's a turnover, they know exactly what to do with it.
They're helping it. They understand, like I said, the work that they're putting in on the training ground is very obvious, because not only do they understand their roles, they understand everybody else's role in the team as well. So you can see that, for argument's sake, if we're going through a period in the game when we are under a little bit of pressure and that three becomes a five, when the ball does go wide and they're trying to get in behind our fullbacks, our centre midfielders are going across and helping the fullback as well, and it's great to see. You know, they're obviously like you said, but buying into what they're doing, you know, and Pulis's ethos. And I think the typical example would have been Millwall away last year. You know, when Borough sort of played some decent stuff at times, but just got bullied out of the game, didn't they? Yeah. And they lost the game. Whereas that's just not going to happen this year. That is, you know.
We've talked a lot about there just in the kind of opening 8 minutes or so about how solid Borough have looked. Going forward, then, can this system get the best out of the players they've got at the minute? How do you see that developing in the weeks ahead? I mean, I think Martin Braithwaite was missed, wasn't he, on Friday night as that link-up man between the midfield and attack. Can Borough get the best out of him? Will we avoid a Gaston Ramirez situation with him? And how do you see the battle between British Sam Longer and Jordan Hugel?
Well, I mean, the recruits that we've brought in, Hugel, Also, George Saville, you know, hold my hands up and say I haven't seen a lot of him. But my understanding is that he's a player that likes to get forward from midfield and score goals. And he'll
scored 10 last year.
Yeah, so he'll support that then front lot. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see when Hugel is up and fit and firing. You know, if we are going to continue to run with this system that we're currently playing at, then there's two spots up for grabs up there, and you know the battle is between Britt, Hugel, and also Martin Braithwaite. But you know, again, that's competition for places. That you know, that's down to them three guys to sort of win that.
In terms of going forward, I think there's you can make two points. The one first is that last season for all is wonderful, entertaining, and enthralling, absorbing moments of magic. Adama Traore made Borough a team with only one outlet.
One dimensional, yeah.
And while he was fantastic to watch, towards the end of the season, even ordinary teams had found a way of stopping him playing, whether that was kicking him to bits or putting three men on him and pushing play down one particular flank and swamping it. And Borough became very lopsided. This season, I think there's a real balance there. You know, they're attacking down both flanks. I think creating a lot of chances. Ryan Shotton has been a revelation as a Brazilian wing back going forward. And on the other flank, Stewie, when he was on the left as a wing back, was excellent. George is creating chances. And the other thing is there's a real quick, dynamic interchange and little triangles in midfield, which by space and time and angles, and any of the midfielders now can break to the edge of the box, and there's chances just coming all over the place. Ironically, Borough are still scoring quite a lot of their goals from set plays, but they are creating chances. I mean, against Birmingham, they hit the woodwork three times, and at Leeds, although afterwards everyone said Borough were a negative, stifled team. I mean, Housen could have had a goal in the first half. Danny Ayala could have had, from open play, Danny Ayala could have had a goal. And that would have been no disservice to Borough. That they, when they break, I think they break with intent. Whereas last season, when they were breaking, it was giving the ball to Adama and then kind of waiting, hopefully, that something was going to happen. Now I think they're imposing themselves and they are actually genuinely creating moments and situations.
I think for all the plaudits Borough have received over the last few weeks about being rigid and solid and strong and hard to play against, and you know that is great. But what's also important to point out is Borough have got some really good footballers. You know, you've got Downing who can create from the middle of the park. Mo Besic can play. Johnny Howson can pick a pass and can go forward. And then obviously the new boy George Saville. Sounds as though he's going to bring it. You know, that's going to be another part to our game as well. So, you know, it is important to point out that. I mean, I think that was the first league game in 18 games that we haven't scored in. You know, to tagging on from the back end of last season.
We talked about that a fair bit at the back end of last year, didn't we? You know, in the centre midfield and the middle of the park. I mean, competition there is absolutely fierce. Yeah. You've got, I think I counted 8 central midfielders this morning. Now, how is that going to play out? Because, you look at it, say, Friday night, well, Adam Clayton, I thought, had one of, if not his best games he's had for Borough. Johnny Howson seems to be getting better by the week, and we know how much Tony Pulis likes Mo Besic. Last year he talked about when he came in that we want him in the team as quickly as possible. He's going to play, isn't he, when he's fit?
Yeah.
Now, if you consider that Braithwaite will be behind a striker, if Friend and Shotton are your wing backs, then you've got Downing and Saville and Wing and Leadbitter and McNair. You know, how does that play out? How does Pulis keep them all happy? Does he tinker? Does he stick with the same?
Well, if you're playing with the current level of intensity, it's very, very demanding, especially in those weeks when you've got 3 games in 8 days.
I think there's 14 weeks.
And this gives him the luxury of chopping and changing, resting people, always having
but
fresh
legs. But he doesn't do that, does he?
No, but this I don't think he did last year because I don't think he trusted anyone that was on the bench. And we saw that, the how frequently he didn't use his substitutes.
But even this year, say, Paddy McNair's been fit the last few weeks, but he's stayed on the bench. He hasn't put him in when they've been playing Saturday, Tuesdays. He does tend to play his strongest team, doesn't
he? It's going to be interesting now to see, now the window's closed and he's got in the players that he's brought in. I think that he's looked at them two signings he made at the back end of the window, where He's strengthened in central defence with Bath, and he's brought in Saville because he knows that he's going to be playing this system with wing backs. So the core of the team, central defence, central midfield, he's bolstered that because he knows that they're going to be used week in, week out. And the way that we're playing at the moment, with the intensity that we're playing at, you know, you can't keep that up week in, week out, and perform to the same level. So I think there will be a little bit of rotation there. I definitely think you'll see, you know, like you say, Downing's been playing great, but is he going to play, you know, three games a week all season? I can't see. He's 34 year old now, so you're going to need to rotate in this position.
What would have been interesting is had he brought the winger in that he craved,
yeah,
or two, what would have happened then with the system? It would have been difficult to change it because it's worked so effectively.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it could maybe you had wingers come in, maybe more, a couple more would have left. You would think maybe it was an opportunity for Grant to move.
No, but say that doesn't change the fact that if you bring Yannick Bolasie in, for example, Bolasie is an out and out winger, isn't he? So you can't play wing backs. You wouldn't
have thought
with Yannick Bolasie. You bring a player in like that, he's a £30 million winger, you play him. It'd have been interesting to see, wouldn't it? How the dynamic had changed.
He has sort of tinkered and you know, even this season in a couple of games. Was it Bristol where
he played
a flat four at the back?
So he did in the second half of the cup game against Rochdale.
Yeah. It's showing that adaptability and that ability to be able to sort of analyse what you've got in front of you and adapt what you've got in your armoury to, you know, to A, nullify the opposition, and then B, go and beat them as well.
Are you surprised that anyone stayed? Ashley Fletcher was close to joining Hull.
Yeah,
we know Rudy Gusted was wanted by Forest. We talked about Grant there. There's lots of competition now in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, the first team squad now is 26 strong, which is, when you consider that last year that the gaffer was talking about working with 18 and a couple of kids, he's now got 24 and a couple of kids, and you would think there might be one too many in each department, but then over the course of a long season you might need that. But yeah, I'm surprised that it was a perfect opportunity for Grant Ledbetter to move to Sunderland. I think Ashley Fletcher must have been sat by the exit door all Thursday and Friday expecting the call.
Phil Buckingham of the Hull Daily Mail report that he went to Hull and he was there on Friday.
And Sheffield United were also very interested, and Barnsley were interested. So, yes, I'm surprised he's still there. The Borough have five forwards now, although Rudy Castet's not quite up to speed yet.
Mm.
Back in the last season, they were operating with three. With Braithwaite back in the mix, Ugil, who you would think would be the Pulis style front man, target man, because he can play with his back to the goal, he can hold the ball up, very physically imposing in the box, which with the best will in the world, that isn't Britt's game. And then you've got Britt, who's working harder and looks a better player this season, more fitting for the system. And then Fletcher looking like he'd be very struggled to even going to get on the bench.
Mm. Let's talk about Martin Braithwaite then. You can only judge a player on what you've seen out on the pitch, can't you, I guess, in terms of the character on the player. And the signs so far this season are that he will get his head down because, you know, it made no secret of the fact, Tony Pulis said it was no surprise really when he knocked on his door last week and asked him for a move. There's been speculation all summer. He obviously went to Bordeaux in the second half of last season, and there was bits and bobs coming out of the press there, weren't there? But you can only judge him on what we've seen on the pitch, and that's been impressive so far this season. Have you got any concerns that we might not see the Braithwaite we've seen so far this season now that move to Leganés or wherever else it was and deadline day fell through?
I had more concerns about that being an issue before the season started. And him being here at the start of the season, but he's been exemplary and he's been great. He's been one of our best performers. His work rate's been high. You know what he does off the pitch and the conversations that he has with the club as a supporter sat in the stands mean nothing to me. You know, as long as he's putting it in on the pitch on a Saturday, then you know that's for them to sort out when the time is right. But you know, at the minute he's doing exactly what's required of him on the pitch. I think he's been brilliant. I think he's been. We missed him on Friday. He just, you know, that little bit of guile, little bit of creativity.
That bit of craft, wasn't it?
The ability to take the ball in a half turn, to be able to pick a pass, movement. I think we did miss that element of his game on Friday night. So, you know, I fully expect him to get his head down, knuckle down, work hard, and you know, I would imagine if he keeps scoring goals for Borough, then there'll be more and more interest come January, won't there?
And as does Pulis, because we asked him about it on Friday night, and he's away on a national break now, isn't he? And said, you know, getting himself away from it now, you know, kind of almost recharging, getting your head back right, and then coming back. And I'm sure that they'll have a chat with him and a sit down. Then we mentioned it on the night, didn't we, that when he came out to warm up at Elland Road, Jonathan Woodgate was straight over to him and an arm around his shoulder, a word in his ear. And I guess it comes down, you know, we've often talked, haven't we, about Pulis' man management skills, how he got the best out of someone like Adama Traore last season. Well, this is a test of that, isn't it? To, you know, to say, look, get your head down until January. We reassess then.
Yeah. And for him, it might be a blessing in disguise that he didn't go to a side in Spain that's going to struggle. The best one in the world, they're not a big side. If he stays at Borough and the current trajectory of the season goes as it is, he could be on the verge of being in the Premier League.
Well, that's it, 5 months.
We spoke about that.
And suddenly that looks a far more attractive prospect than being in the bottom third of the Spanish League.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, we don't know the ins and outs of why he knocked on Tony Pulis' doors and asked that question. Is it the club? Is it the league? Is it the area? You know, we don't know. We don't know what his family situation's like, how settled they are in the area. But, you know, the interest from Spain has come because he started the season really well for Borough.
And because he's a fine player, isn't he?
Really, of course, you know, he's an excellent footballer. And like I said, you know, if he doesn't strike me as the type of person to damn tools, like, you know.
He's not Gaston Ramirez.
Like Gaston Ramirez, yeah. Like Gaston Ramirez did, yeah, basically. I don't expect that from Martin Braithwaite. I think he's an honest player. He'll give us all when he's got the Borough shirt on. And like I said, as a fan, that's all I really want from him. You know, if he wants to move come January, then if he's scoring goals for Borough, I would imagine that interest will probably still be there.
I meant to look at the top scorer odds because tweeted a few weeks back that he was something like 30-1. And I said then that if he's still a Borough player on the 1st of September, those odds would have tumbled in. I haven't looked yet, but there will be.
Do you know, in a club where he's settled and he's happy and he's firing, he's a 15 to 20 goal a season man, isn't he?
Yeah, and especially in a team like this that are creating chances.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Last season it was quite hard, wasn't it, if you're up front for Borough, because there wasn't a lot of freedom around the box, a lot of space, a lot of chances from open play. And Borough were most effective, really, when Danny Ayala went up into the box.
But yeah.
I think there's more space up there now, and I think he revels in that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's a wonderful footballer. I think he's elegant. I think he's got incredible balance, touch, vision. And to be fair, in that last season, the first half of the last season when he was here, I thought he was the best player then as well. And I was quite surprised that he was farmed out so quickly. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he wanted to be playing top flight football to guarantee his World Cup spot, and you can understand that, but I don't think he did anything wrong when he was here in the first time.
We spoke about the rotation in the engine room and how that's going to be important, that, you know, the abundance of talent that we've got now in that area, how it's going to be used and used effectively. It's going to be interesting to see whether that's the case up front, isn't it, when all three are fit and firing, you know, Hugo, Braithwaite and
Anderson Belonga, and then Braithwaite almost fits into another category. We were laughing on Friday night, weren't we, because Braithwaite was described as perfect for the 5-3-1-1 system. So that's something that's never ever been described of a player before. But he is, isn't he, for the way they're playing at the minute, it is almost like a one and a one as that link up. Although when you get George Saville in there, or when Besic is up to speed, I mean, we saw Besic comfortably carrying the ball as he does on a few occasions on Friday night, so you might then be able to go, say, Britt and Hugo as your two, if you have Saville playing in a more advanced role.
Or
Housen.
What have we made then of teams elsewhere, because it's already in flux. And I've seen Blackburn, you know, back end of last week were sixth, they lost on Sunday, or sixth or seventh, lost on Sunday, they fell down to 13th. Sheffield United were, you know, pretty average start, they win four on the bounce or whatever it is, and they're up to third. Has anything surprised you?
Looking at the table, I was, you know, when Sheffield United came here, I saw Borough completely dismantle them in the first half, and I thought, they're probably not going to be as strong as they were last season. I thought the same as Millwall. We went to Bristol City and beat them quite comfortably. They've lost a lot of players, so you know, I said, oh, they won't be as strong as
they
were last year.
But the $1 million for an hour against
Borough. Yeah. Well, I saw the Sheffield United result, and then you know, they're only 2 points behind Borough, aren't they? They've got, I think they've got 12 points. Yeah. Well, so I thought they were poor here, but then you know they've gone and got picked up.
Tony Mowbray used to instruct us not to ask him any questions about the league table until 10 games were gone.
Yeah.
I think that's probably wise. I know as a fan you always, I mean I tweeted out the table after about 3 games and I know that sometimes that you know you look at the table and you make calculations and assumptions, but realistically it's only on Friday that a lot of teams have finished their squad building. So if you think about 2 or 3 games for them to bed in, and that takes you up to the 8 games mark, maybe then you can say it's starting to take shape. I think there are a couple of teams in there that will settle and get over their early nerves. I mean, West Brom had a bit of a sticky start.
Stoke haven't
even got out of the blocks yet.
Stoke remind me of Borough last year. All that talent. But you almost look at the squad, just like we did with Borough last year. You look at the squad and you think, how'd you pick an 11 out of that? How'd you keep all these players, how do you keep all these players happy and content? It's crazy the squad he's pulled together there.
I've openly said on record a few times I'm not Gary Rowett's biggest fan. Don't get it with him. I don't understand, you know, what it is that sort of propels him to this like sort of one of the best managers in the league thing. So that's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. I know we won the game here against West Brom, but I was impressed with them. I think they play some decent stuff. And once the season gets up and running, they've got Premier League footballers right throughout that team.
Rodriguez and Gale up top.
I think they'll be up there. They're about to come the end of the season in the running. I mean, obviously, Leeds won the league in August, didn't they? So that's...
Villa are an interesting one because, I mean, the start of the summer, it looked like it was going to be an absolute shambles of a year or whatever for them. The future was in flux at one point, wasn't it? But they've got a real squad together now, and some of the signings have made, the likes of Bellassi, Tammy Abraham, but it's just not clicking at all.
He's under pressure,
isn't
he, Bruce?
That's something that's never really gone away. We've been there as a club where you get a faction of fans, and it might only be 25% to 30%, and you have a couple of good results, and they go quiet, but two bad results, and they dominate the narrative again, and everyone's talking about pressure on Brucey, and one more defeat, and he's going to get the sack. And I think that will dog them all season. And the ownership issue isn't really resolved, because when the new people came in and financed the rescue package, it was openly discussed that they might want to bring their own manager in. So I think he's kind of on borrowed time there. And
they have backed him though, haven't they?
They have, but that element of doubt is always there. And if you hit a sticky patch and the fans start to chunter and boo, which we know they can do it at Villa Park, I think that pressure's always there, and it's very hard to operate against that background.
I think like I mentioned there with West Brom and you know the talent that they've got in that squad coming to fruition as the season gets going into the running, I think the same for Aston Villa. You know, to keep hold of Jack Grealish, and then they've brought in Bellassi, who's the guy,
is it from Ajax?
He looks a good player from what I've seen. They've signed Tammy Abraham, who's proven at this level. They've got Kodja coming back from injury.
Beat Borough to Albert Adoma on deadline.
So you know, again, I think the cream always rises to the top with stuff like that.
And the thing with looking at the table, I completely agree that you know you don't read too much into it. But Borough almost paid the price for, they were constantly chasing last year, weren't they? It was only in the last 2 or 3 weeks when they were in the playoff place and safely in the playoff place, because even in those early stages of the season, when they got up to 6th, 5th, 6th, 7th, they were never consistent or capable enough to stay there. Getting, you know, you, where you saw with teams like last year, although Villa had a slow start, Derby were up there from the off, Wolves were up there from the off, Cardiff started well and never faltered. So although Fulham came through as they did, it's much better to be the team being chased and to do the chasing, because it does just rile the pressure up. And Stoke know now, for example, look, you know, you look at it, we were talking about this, weren't we? They're already, say, 3 results behind Borough. Now, if Borough were to beat Stoke, you know, even at this stage of the season...
Every now and again, you get someone I think it happened a couple of years ago, or quite a few years ago, when Sunderland got promoted from this division, and then when Fulham went up last year.
Palace did it that year, yeah, when Ian Dowie was in charge.
I think Fulham were something like sixth bottom when they came here in December. You know, they were right down the bottom. Where this is just last season, and went and motored and got into the playoffs, and then eventually won them. But you know, it, like you mentioned there, that's the few and far between them examples. And you know, if Borough can set down a marker where you know you're going and we get to the 10, 12, 13 game mark, and you know we've lost as little as possible, and you know we've got a good lead there, then you know it's a good footing, isn't it, to go into like a busy period over the Christmas time, and before you know it, it's like you're into January, and like you know you're looking and you're thinking.
And Martin Braithwaite's wanting to move to the game.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Vic. Thanks, Garbs. And like I say, apologies for being so inconsistent with these tripes over the summer. We're going to get back to a once-a-week system now. Nailed on. Cheers, fellas. Thank you.
Bye.